Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. We have a number of visitors with us today. We're very glad that you came to worship with us. Nice to see you again, Brandon. Been out a little bit. Tana sent in a note that she received a text from Niger that she's not feeling well today, that she actually had to leave work early, not feeling well. So we will have a prayer for Niger. Also, need to remember Tracy Marion. There, you're leaving tomorrow to head to California for Tracy's mother's funeral. So they'll be gone this week. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you for the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the sins that we commit. Dear God, we ask a special request right now for Sister Niger, that she gets feeling better, and whatever it is just a passing, temporary situation, that she'll be feeling better soon. Dear God, we ask that you be with Tracy and Marion as they head to California. We ask that they will be comforted during this time, that they will be a source of comfort for the rest of the family. Dear God, be with us the rest of our worship service to you. We hope the things that are discussed in the lesson are done in spirit and in truth and is pleasing to you. Dear God, again, please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. We pray through your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, you learn a lot by asking questions. I wanted to look at some questions that was asked of Jesus. Not only the questions are interesting, and we can probably identify with many of those questions, but we definitely need to listen to the answers. It's weird because a lot of times, I don't know if you've ever noticed, people will come with a question and they sometimes don't want to hear the answer. They're maybe coming with a question that they want you to back them up on, that they have a preconceived idea and they're looking for yes men. That they want to surround themselves with people that will build up their way of thought. Not everybody that we're going to see in this lesson, not everybody wanted to hear the answer to the question that they were asking Jesus. And even if they did, they didn't always do what the answer and the solution was. Let's look at a couple of these. One, Jesus was asked by Peter, and Kurt read this from Matthew 18. Peter has a legitimate question. He wants to know, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? He wanted to know that. And then he threw in the extra, up to seven times. That's a lot to forgive somebody of something that sins against me. And Jesus will respond. In Matthew 18, it says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him, up to seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. He's not giving him a definitive answer. He's saying almost unlimited. If they keep asking for forgiveness, you keep giving them forgiveness. And then in this passage, Jesus goes into the parable of what we refer to as the unforgiving servant. That a man owed the king 10,000 talents. And he was going to be ordered to prison, and he begs him. And it said the Lord had mercy on him and forgave all that he owed. And right after that big debt was forgiven, as he's going out, he sees somebody that owed him 100 denarii. It was just a fraction of what he had just been forgiven. He grabs the man by the throat. He puts hands on him. Give me what you owe me. The forgiveness that was just shown him fell on deaf ears, because he didn't have that same compassion for somebody else. And Jesus would go on and explain that parable to them and drive this point home. In Matthew 9, verse 13, Jesus talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, I would have loved to have witnessed this and to see how irritated and under their skin Jesus got with them. He says, go and learn what this means. They knew the scriptures backwards and forwards, upside down and backside. And he says, go and learn what this means. And he quotes the scripture, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. He's telling them, you know the words. There's no doubt you know the words. But go and learn what it means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You can make a sacrifice and it not come from your heart. You can forgive somebody. The words, but it not be from your heart. Peter had wanted to know, how many times should I forgive my brother? If you're keeping track, you're probably not truly forgiving them. Okay, there's one. There's two. Oh, he's asked me again. Three, check. Man, when I get to that magic number, I'm cutting him off. That's probably not true forgiveness. Another question that people have asked of Jesus, kind of a stupid question. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? I'm sure they would look back on this and realize, I think he did care. I think he did care for us. I think he did what it took to assure that we don't perish. This was an account in Mark chapter 4. And starting in verse 35, it says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. Stop. That's why I don't want to go on boats. I'm staying on land. Anyway, that's not in the scripture, but that was a freebie right there. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, first of all, he's with fishermen. He's with people that encounter this all the time. They're scared to death. You know, Peter, James, and John and the boys have been in storms before. This is scaring them. And they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus had cared from the beginning that they were perishing. That was his whole purpose, was to come here and to keep them from perishing, that they would be baptized and be saved. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Why shouldn't it obey him? He created it. He was at the beginning with God the Father at the creation. They created the wind and the sea. Why shouldn't they obey him? Do you not care that we are perishing?" In John 10, verses 14 and 15, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." I wonder if all of these things clicked after the crucifixion. That yes, he does care that we are perishing. In John 19, verse 28, it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, the plan since the beginning of time." The plan that was in place before the wind and the waves were created. Knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. I don't think from that point on any of the apostles or disciples would ask that question again. "Jesus, do you not care that we are perishing?" I think he kind of proved that yes, he does care. But don't we catch ourselves sometimes when we are slapped in the face with that old enemy called life? When we are hit, don't we sometimes wonder, "Jesus, where are you? God, don't you know?" Do we ever say, "Do you not care that I'm going through this?" He's proven it over and over and over and has told them, "I care." Another question that was asked to him was asked by Pilate. Not a follower of Jesus. These questions that were so far have been by people that followed Jesus. Here's somebody that doesn't even follow Jesus. And I don't even like to use the word trial. It was more of a kangaroo court. It was a sham. There was nothing lawful or legal about it. And he's being asked by Pilate, "Are you a king then?" And we find this account in John 18, verses 36 and 37. Jesus is before Pilate and he says, "Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight.'" That was demonstrated in the garden when Jesus was arrested. Peter drew the sword and is ready to fight to the death. Whacks off Malchus's ear. He was ready to fight. "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." He answers that question. "I'm a king, but not like your thinking. Not like the world thinks. Because my kingdom is not of this world." And it's for this very reason of me being a king, why I even came to this earth. Why I was born of a woman. Yes, I am a king. Question we have to ask ourselves: is he our king? Is he your king? Do we honor him as a king? Do we submit to everything the king commands? I picture in the old movies, you know, knights and kings and all that stuff, the king says something, and you got to do it, whatever it was. Do we submit to everything the king commands? And are we loyal to the king? Just some questions for us to ask of ourselves. We know he is the king. Do we respond appropriately? And the last question I want us to look at, this is we've had complete lessons on this, but a young man, in the Bible, it usually refers to it as the rich young ruler. And he comes and he says, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" That's the question of the age. What do I need to do to be saved? That's what he's asking. Every one of us have asked that at one point in our life or another. We've asked that, what do I have to do to be saved? We find this account in Matthew 19, starting in verse 16. It says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.'" Keep the commandments. He said to him, "Which ones?" One to be legalistic. Well, what one so I can check off? Kind of like Peter. I forget my brother five times. Two more, because he said I'd do it seven times. Which ones? Jesus said, "You shall not murder." Young man's thinking, good, I got that one. "You shall not commit adultery." good. I'm on a roll. You shall not steal. Yes. You shall not bear false witness. I don't do it. Honor your father and your mother. Man, easy breezy. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus is going to tell him. I don't know what the young man's heart was. I don't know if he just wanted to be his conscience soothed by Jesus. I don't know if he wanted to truly know. He had a feeling, I'm a pretty good guy. I live good. All of these commandments I've kept. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. We do not know if maybe he had a clearer moment later, and maybe he did this. This is all we know. We have the implication that he never did. He went away sorrowful. He just couldn't do it. He's done so much. Here's a point. He didn't want to hear this from Jesus. You mean I've got to get rid of everything to follow you? Do we have to sell everything we have to follow Jesus? Absolutely not. This is an example of not letting anything stand in our way. For you, it might be something else from this man. For me, it might be something else. We don't want anything to stand between us and salvation.
Amen.
In Luke 9:23, says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What a selling point. Oh, this is going to draw people to Christianity. Deny yourself? Now, hold it. What benefits is there for me? You deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Jesus said there's a sacrifice involved. For the young man, he was tied to his possessions. Some of us might be tied to other things. Maybe we're not willing to submit. Maybe our pride is getting the best of us. But every one of us have asked that question at one time. What do I need to do to be saved? Jesus has answered us if we're willing to listen. He said that we have to believe that he's the Son of God. Not everybody believed that he was the Son of God. Some people called him a good teacher. Some people, followed after him to heal their child. Some maybe just came for the free fish sandwich that he gave out. 5,000 of them one day. Fish and bread. He also said you got to repent of your sins. He says in Luke 13:3 that if you don't repent of your sins, you will likewise perish. You've got to repent. You just can't follow me and still be that old person. You've got to confess that belief to man. Not just keep it inside. Yeah, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm not going to tell anybody, but I believe it. Jesus says, you got to confess it to man. That if you confess it to man, I will confess you before the Father. And if you don't confess me before men, verse 33 of Matthew 10, I won't confess you before my Father who's in heaven. You have to be baptized, immersed into water, just like all the examples of the Christians being saved in the New Testament. For the forgiveness of your sins, not to join, not because your spouse is putting pressure on you, not because mom and dad expects it of you, to be forgiven of your sins. If you want to be saved, you're not saved till you're baptized. You can believe, a lot of people believed in Jesus, believed that he was the Son of God. A lot of people lived good lives. A lot of people even told about Jesus, but they weren't baptized. They're not saved. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And then that's the beginning of our Christian walk. We then have to remain faithful. In Matthew 10:22, Jesus told his followers that you've got to endure to the end to be saved. Revelation 2:10, remain faithful until death, and you'll receive a crown of life. There's been many questions asked of Jesus. The questions are important. The questions are questions many of us have had throughout our life. But his answers and our submission to his answers are more important. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, through repentance, through prayers, anything that we can do to assist you, please come forward while Don leads us in the invitation and we'll address your needs. Let's stand and sing.